and welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is...
Sam Bradley. There's no way to abbreviate that like the way you did. So yeah. just me again, kids.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another week, another day, another life, another dollar. Sam, how's your week been, mate?
Yeah, good. Can you tell that we didn't rehearse that? Not bad. Thank you, mate. What have I been up to? We always start with me because you're far more polite than you think of others. Ed, how's your week in D&D been?
Oh, bloody hell.
I know.
It's thrown me. That's thrown a spanner in the works. I'm not prepared. It's been good, actually. So I've obviously been working on this subclassical fantastical that you listeners are about to wrap your lovely earlobes around. Mm-hmm. We had our usual weekly game, the one that myself and Sam play in, which went absolutely fucking ballistic.
Bloody hell.
But, which was fantastic. I'm going to leave Sam to talk about that more because I think it probably is more related to stuff happened to his character.
So much stuff.
And tomorrow, I'm playing my first game back with physical people in the real world, not through Roll20.
What? How are you doing that? Are you doing that outside?
Doing it outside in a patioed place. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be lovely. Wine shall flow. But do you know what is interesting? And I know we've never really had a conversation about this on the show, or we might have done, but I can't really remember because there's hours and hours of content that we've just put out there.
A war of attrition. You're absolutely right, old friend.
I forgot how much sort of extra prep needs to go into physical games, because with Roll20 and all that sort of stuff, you're like, all right, what's in here? And you're like, it's a barman. So you just drag the barman over from the little character selection box. But actually, going to a game, and you can forget things and be like, oh, I'll be right back. I'm just going to step away from the screen and grab that piece of lore or and you have to be much more present, which I mean, it's going to be really, really enjoyable to see my crew and obviously be present with them, because that's undoubtedly what's going to happen, and I think some whiskey doth flow. Mm-hmm. It just really sort of made me think, as a DM, you've got to do so much more prep, I guess, because it's
the physicality inhabiting an NPC, I think, has really, really changed. I used to really like, transforming into, especially like villains, when you're being the big bad or the sort of person that's going to drop that little bit of nugget and someone's going to go, hang on, what the fuck? And being able to get all those little quirks in.
Yes.
I think that does suffer slightly, or has suffered, not in terms of wanting to do it, but just like, you don't really appreciate it, so you don't really do it when you're behind the screen.
Do you know, there's a character, this is Starter Set history here. When I first started playing with Sam, he had a character called Jimny Hendrix, and Jimny Hendrix could talk with animals. He had the speak with animals spell.
Uh-huh.
And he befriended a gecko.
Yeah, the little lizard fella. Oh, Manuel. Yeah,
called Manuel.
Yes!
Now, when it came to the physicality of playing Manuel as a gecko, I put a lot of effort and work into that, like where I was doing like a lot of blinks and head twists in the same way that you would expect from a lizard, you know what I mean? Like when you watch them move. The fantastic thing on that one is also trying to explain human concepts to a lizard, which I really enjoyed, because everybody's like, speak with animals, and then it's like, yeah, I'm going to get a direct answer there. It's like, no, you have to teach animals what things mean for...
Oh, that was genuine. It was ironically similar to the relationship that John Cleese and Andrew Sachs' characters have in Fawlty Towers.
Mm.
The back and forth that we have. No, here's what I mean. And just because you get that timer running down, because Speak With Animals only lasts a minute, 10 minutes, something like that.
Something along those lines.
You have to just... infuriating, but hilarious for everyone else.
Yeah, it was great. But that was a character brought to life by physicality, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, which is cool. But I digress and we digress. Sam, tell me about your D&D week. Tell us about bombs.
Oh, so we rolled up to a party with a crime lord with a bomb, and someone else bombed him, and then our bomb went off, and all the rest of the crew were outside hanging out. But yeah. I wasn't, kind of. I got summoned in, and then I got blown up and vaporized. And it was really nicely described by the DM exactly how I sort of got vaporized or not, and then woke up in a flotation tank. So I'm sort of creating characters again, not knowing if I need them. And I got a couple of doozies. I'm in that weird position where I'm like, I do like Anoki, my little furball warlock, but if he did perish, I got a couple of cool things on the back burner. I'm in sort of weird sort of dead zone between I want him to live because I'm invested in the story that the DM's created for him, but also, let's change this shit up.
Interesting. Well, I think you might, because he does listen to this show, I think you might have given him permission to let you just die now, then, if that's the case.
Yeah, and Anoki awakens in the tank and drowns.
It is a blender. Bye-bye. Yeah, fantastic. Well, what it also did is it made me think about my next character in that campaign, and I'm really excited for that.
Because he'll just kill us all. He's a madman.
Well, Zebulon's a necromancer. He'll bring himself back to life. That's how that works.
That's not how that shit works.
Anyway, speaking of my next character and this show, Fantastical Subclassical, I've got so much faith in this subclass that is my intention to play this subclass in our next...
You want to play your own subclass?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God, the guy who brings a copy of his own book to a party to sign... This guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that turns up to a party with a guitar and goes,
Run the ads.
Play Wonderwall.
Run the ads. This is unforgettable. We're gonna have to work with you. Run the ads.
Play Wonderwall.
No. Cut his mic.
Snyder's Return is a tabletop role-playing podcast featuring interviews and a D&D 5e actual play adventure. So you can learn about different game systems and content creation while also listening to us disrupt everyday life on the Sword Coast. We release episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on your podcasting platform. So come join us as we improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know, play D&D, and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And welcome back, ladies.
So, Ed, it's your turn to draw blood. You're to draw third blood, I believe. We had the Way of the Four Masters last week, and then before that we had the Hexen Beast.
Yes, we did.
And everything that had to offer.
Do you know what I think they should do more of? Instead of saying, like, first to draw blood, they should be like, first to draw third blood in duels and things like that.
That's a little bit like saying 40 past 5 instead of 20 to 6, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. But I quite like it. I want to see more of that in films.
Or 100 past... No. I'm just doing that Alan Partridge skit, aren't I? Ed, what have you got for us? Fighters this week, isn't it?
It is Fighters. And ladies and gents, I present to you The Bastion. A fighter who fights for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He is best, or she is best, when defending, ultimately. It's your defender fighter. It's your what usually would be your buff. It's your support fighter, I think, is the best way to describe him.
Okay.
So, what I've done in this approach is I've worked backwards, actually, from an image. I was playing Forerunner. You know, the popular video game Forerunner, because people ask about, like, inspiration. So I was playing Forerunner, and there's a character in there called the Voitir or something like that. It's basically a person with a sword and a big fuck-off shield. And I was like, That's it. That's what I want to do as a subclass. I want to do a fighter that runs about with this big old shield and just like shield bashes people and you know, jumps in the way of things, and it's all about blocking. Okay. And then I started looking at like other historical people. I watched the fight scene from Troy, you know, with Hector and Achilles.
Oh yeah, God, that movie. I haven't thought about that movie for like 15 years.
On this beach, immortality, it's take it, it's yours.
I think I saw it once, and it was maybe a pirated DVD. Yeah, I'm sure it was great, but I just don't...
That's fine. That film does suffer a little bit. It's a little too long, but we don't talk about films on this podcast. We talk about D&D. So I watched that fight, and I was like, yep, that's cool. Obviously, Winter Soldier's out. Falcon Winter Soldier's out at the moment, so...
Yeah.
There's a bit of shield work there, but I steered away from Cap. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to raise that, and I didn't know if that he's like the sort of red, white, and blue elephant in the room, isn't he? Because I think a lot of people are going to see, oh, shield fighter. Well, that's a Marvel build. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I know that from what we've spoken about, you kind of want to go above
and beyond. We'll get to that when we get to that ability, Sam, because I know you added some bits on it, and I'll tell you for why I didn't do it. Oh. So, without further ado, the Bastion, right? So, a lone warrior stands firm, shield raised under a rain of blows from enemies. A dragonborn pulls his halfling friend out of the way of a deadly blow, taking the hit for himself. Slamming her buckler into the face of her enemy, a tiefling thrusts her spear forward, striking true. The Bastion is a fighter who shows aptitude for using a shield. Right, so, level 3. You get two abilities. Number one, sword and board.
Okay.
Any shield you use is considered a weapon for the purpose of attacking.
Well, that's
shield,
good.
Yeah. A shield does 1d4 bludgeoning damage plus your strength modifier. Okay. Next up, shield bash. You can use one of your attacks when you take the attack action to make a shield bash against a target. Upon a hit, this grants advantage on the next attack against that target.
Ooh. Okay. Also fun. So you can sort of, sword and board. You hit with the shield, then do them with the sword.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what you can do, because you can still use the shield. Theoretically, you can do this where you just use a shield.
And you're just- it's just, you just hit, like, hitting them with a dinner plate, just again and again and again.
And it's not, you know, it's not very effective, but it does work. But the idea of that shield bash is exactly that. So at level 3, it's not particularly useful for yourself, because you can bup... And then you're going to rely on an ally to do that, to take advantage of that, to take advantage of that advantage, right?
Yeah.
But later on, when you start to stack your attacks and you get multi-attack and you can start banging out a few, you begin with the shield bash, bup, and then you start giving some spear or short sword or
kick him in the nuts.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly. So the idea on that is about making it scalable throughout the entirety of the fighters leveling up. Okay, so that's level 3. Next up, level 7. So at level 7, we unlock Get Behind Me. Now, this is where we start to see that defense of your allies come into play. So if a friendly creature within 5 feet of you is targeted with an attack, you can use your reaction to switch places with that creature. You are then considered the target of that attack. And you can do this before the damage roll.
Oh, cool, okay.
So it's
so you
going...
can selflessly throw yourself in the way of that.
Exactly. It's going, oh, Larry's in trouble again. Quick, grab Larry, and you grab Larry, and you go, don't worry, Larry, over there you go. And you jump in the way, and hopefully, because you've got your shield and your armor and everything else, you've got a higher AC, and you can deal with that. I should have said a melee attack or a ranged attack. So that's at level 7. Level 10, we start to see your shieldy abilities get a little bit more badassery. So, we unlock Shield Wall. Now, what this allows you to do is it's a little bit like evasion, but instead of evasion, it's going, I don't need to evade, I'm going to just put my shield in the way.
So it's kind of like, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
What my... sort of envisioning of this being is the guy standing in front of the dragon breathing fire over him, and Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that stream of fire splitting either side. Now, basically what it does is it's exactly like evasion. It is evasion. Yes, it is. If a spell effect or any effect causes you to make a dex saving throw on a failed save, you only take half damage. On a success, no damage. You can apply this to a medium or small friendly creature of your choice within 5 feet of you. Okay.
Okay, that's really useful.
So again, it's that get behind me, get, like, I'm going to use my shield to save, you know, to save both of us, and then all the stuff goes behind you. So, level 15, we then see your shield bash start to amp up a bit. Okay, now this is where we had a bit of a conversation around it, because I had a couple of abilities that I wanted to sort of figure out, but the one that I've gone with, so your shield damage dice is upgraded to a d8.
Okay,
and
that's good.
Now, if you score a critical hit when you use your shield bash, the target is stunned until the end of its next turn. Now, this is where we had a conversation around potentially chucking it at people, right?
To shield get bounce, Captain America. Pang, pang, catch.
Yeah.
Physics? What physics? Pang, pang, catch.
Exactly. Now, the reason why I didn't do it, didn't choose that as an ability, is because Captain America is not about the shield. He's about who he is, right? You know what I mean? It's about the representation of him being a hero. Mm-hmm. So the shield part of it, ultimately, if you want to do that build, I think you're better looking at a paladin. What is it? Hero paladin?
Because it's the belief, isn't it? It's the representation of the belief, not the shield. They did a whole series about it. I mean, the series was okay, but, you know, they did a whole series. That's the whole point of a lot of the what's worth watching of the series. You know, that's
exactly
an hour that you cut together out the middle of the episode. Anyway.
We need to have a conversation about this, because I liked it much more than you did, but that's fine. Yes. So what if you want to do the Captain America build, I think what you do, you approach it with, all right, let's just get a magical shield that I can throw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have a conversation with your DM.
Yeah, and I think if you do want to do that, you want to do the paladin thing. You really just want to lean into that, because that's actually a true representation of what we're doing, if you wanted to do that, jokes aside.
Yeah, 100%. So with this one instead, I basically looked at the level 3, right? And at the level 3, we get advantage on the next attack if we hit somebody with it. So what this does is the critical hit basically takes that advantage, which is basically because someone's sort of reeling back and going, ah! Instead, when you're stunned, everybody gets advantage against you, so it's basically going, right, we're ramping up that shield armor, now we're fucking solid in terms of, you know, look at my swole shield arm. Smash in the face, you get a crit, and then everybody gets advantage until the end of the next turn. It's not just
get
once.
In, fellas!
Exactly, exactly. And also, it makes a crit that much more exciting.
It's kind of like when the monk lands Stunning Strike, and everyone's like, oh, thank God, get in on him.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But you don't have to spend a key point to do it. Then finally, level 18, this ability is called Walking Fortress. And this could be game-breaking. I'm not entirely sure, but Christ, you're at level 18. You should be doing some crazy stuff anyway.
Most things are sort of border on, if I use it right, it might be a little game-breaking by this
point. Yeah, exactly. But what this is the bonus AC you gain from carrying a shield is increased to 4. Rather than 2.
Fuck, okay.
And your speed is increased by 10 feet.
Oh, I don't think that's that game-breaking.
Well, the element with this is it takes all the other stuff, right? You know, it's that I've always put, if a friendly creature's within 5 feet of you.
Mm-hmm.
Having that speed and that ability to move around the battlefield much more means you can get yourself into position to help your friends. That's the idea
right,
in that one.
Yeah.
And then because your AC is now at 4, things like get behind me becomes that much more better, because instead of like you potentially getting hit with a AC of 21, you're rocking an AC of 23, which is considerably much more hard to hit. You're moving your bard or your wizard out the way of a blow, and their disadvantage in terms of their ability to stick around, because they've usually got less armor or less health, becomes negated. You see?
Right, yeah, I get that.
So that's the idea on that one. And that is the Bastion.
I'm sold. I thought that it was going to be a bit of a Marvely Marvel build, but I actually really like the idea behind it, and I think that it has use out. It's not just like, oh, bro, I want to be fucking Captain America. No, it's actually got use outside of that, and it has sort of its own, kind of like the way of the Four Masters. Like, it has its very clear patterns of how it would lock together with other fighter stuff, and also how it would kind of work as a combination of things once you've unlocked a few of the abilities.
Yeah, exactly. The thing I envision with it when I'm sort of sitting here and thinking in my head is either that sort of Tectonic Knight with like a massive kite shield, or it's that sword and sandals, like Greek vibe.
Kind of like the sort of true warrior, like, oh, he's great with a shield and a sword, and if you knock the sword out of his hand, he's still going to fuck you up and all
yeah,
that sort of
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the hoplite sort of build, so he drops the spear, pulls out the short sword kind of vibe, or potentially what we see coming from Roman culture with the, I mean, fucking hell, they had their bloody tuxedos or whatever they were called.
They the knew turtle. How to use a shield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, really, that is the Bastion. So now,
Bastion a lot. Oh god, here we go. I need to tee up that jingle.
Yeah, you do.
There's a wonderful box. It's very well healed. Yes, it's a real word. What's under there? Oh, it's Ed's great big shield. What's under the shield? It's Sam's character box.
Nice, well done.
Character box. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? That I'm impressed because you clearly weren't ready for it, and you managed to pull it out of the bag just in time.
If I seemed vague the last sort of minute of conversation, it's because I was trying to work out a word that meant good but also rhymed with shield. So, thank you, professional.
Brilliant.
I'm gonna go with. Okay, so speaking about stroking our own egos. I'm going to do a Sicantio fighter.
Oh.
Right.
Ah, that's interesting.
I'm a very interesting guy, Ed. You should know that by now after 100 plus episodes. And what this Sicantio does is, as well as carving the rock armor, they also create a sort of flint shield, if you will. Yeah. And obviously they know that they're a bit squishy and they've got relatively good defense, but they're still a bit squishy, maybe you're too squishy to be a fighter. Well, hang on to your hat, because this one is going out and realizes that obviously they take so long to study swordplay and all that stuff. This one also develops the taste of the shield. And that's why they choose the Bastion fighter subclass.
I like that a lot. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of? You know how like oysters and stuff like that, how they make their shells like over time with just like minerals and all that sort of stuff, and that's what makes them bigger. Like, that's what I'd see like a Sicantio shield.
Oh, and the shield just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but just like a huge like pearlescent
like
barrier.
That.
Yeah. Really cool. Nice.
Maybe surfs on it as well.
Oh, undoubtedly. Why?
I don't know. He was almost a Gangi. If only for that joke. Just to surf.
Well, look, that's the Bastion. That's this week's subclassical fantastical, or fantastical subclassical. I forget which way we do that. Let's bring the show to a close. As always, ladies and gentlemen, you have been our listeners. If you've enjoyed the show, you know, share it around. Share the love. Roll well. That's what I say here. And we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Keep on shielding. That's topical, that is, but also for the show. Bye, everybody.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are dragon breaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.